Welcome to Just Saying It on the Sports Map Radio Network.
You know what I'm saying? I think you do.
Here's Cole Thompson.
And here we go. Welcome into Just Saying It right here on the Sports Map Radio Network. Cole Thompson back in the driver's seat, getting you caught up on everything you might have missed. Everything you need to know going into the weekend. 800-224-2004. Call on the show. Tell us what you like. Tell us what you hate. Let's be real. Yep, love everything about this show. 2-minute warning coming up in about 6 minutes. Cooper Kupp, Offensive Player of the Year, will join us right here on Just Saying It in about 35 minutes. You're not going to want to miss that episode. But I start the hour off with this. I actually do believe that the Orlando Magic did get it right. Because of when I look at what Pablo Banchero can bring to this lineup, to a very, I don't want to say underwhelming lineup, but what I will say is a lineup that certainly should be better in 2022, he's what the missing link is, I think. And in time, I really do like what he'll be able to bring to the table. Because you do look at this roster. Markelle Fultz, I think, will get better. I think that last season, the injuries kind of stuck for him. I think he's going to come back. He's going to rebound pretty well. I like Cole Anthony. I think he's a very solid player. I think Jalen Suggs, I was very high on him. You know, in fact, I actually had him as the number two player in last year's draft behind Anthony Edwards. I thought he was just lights out, one of the most phenomenal shooters in the game. I think he's going to have a rebounding year. Franz Wagner is a really, really good winger. And then you have Wendell Carter Jr. and Jonathan Isaac. I think Isaac, when fully healthy, is one of the better defensive players in the game. So you have a nice little core and niche together. You just need that other wing, the guy who can play on the perimeter, can shoot across, you know, can shoot across the middle, can drive it up to the rim. They need a big, and I think that Paolo is not going to be able to play that number five role, but he can work his way in as a number four. I think very early on, he probably comes off the bench. But give it time. This is an organization that for years and years and years has been a dumpster fire. I think if they would have added in Jabari Smith, they would have been okay, but they wouldn't have gone in the same kind of trajectory of where we are right now. I like what Jabari Smith brings to the Rockets. I like what Pablo Banchero brings to the likes of Orlando. And the main thing that I really like about it is you know that they have, they're not trying to win this year. They're just trying to find foundational pieces. With Suggs, with Wagner, with Isaac, and with Banchero, there's a lot to like.
Time for the 2-minute warning around the NFL. No. Here's Cole Thompson.
Each and every day at this time, we go around the NFL, breaking down some of the biggest storylines you might have missed, and we do so in 2 minutes or less, hence the reason we call it the 2-minute warning. Oh, Michael! Start the clock.
The Pittsburgh Steelers agreed to terms with quarterback Kenny Pickett on his rookie deal, the team announced Thursday afternoon. Pickett was the only quarterback taken in the first round of the 2022 draft when he was selected at number 20. The Steelers had not selected a first-round quarterback since Ben Roethlisberger in 2004. Pickett is looking to succeed the recently retired Big Ben as Pittsburgh's next franchise quarterback. A Pitt product who practiced at the UPMC Rooney Sports Complex throughout college, Pickett was viewed as the most draft-ready quarterback prospect in the 2022 class. The Johnny Unitas Golden Arm Award winner threw for 4,319 yards and 42 touchdowns as a senior and became just the second Pitt quarterback drafted in the first round, behind Hall of Famer Dan Marino in 1983. Pickett fell to Pittsburgh at number 20, the first quarterback was selected in the draft since San Francisco 49ers chose Jim Druckenmiller in 1997.
So congratulations are in order to Kenny Pickett, QB1. Easily QB1. If any of you have listened to Just Saying It since last year, you remember me talking about Kenny Pickett as the prince that was promised, even though tiny hands are definitely not going to be able to carry the load in Pittsburgh and the Steel City. But what I will say is that I do think that getting this deal done before training camp was always essential, but now you also have that competition factor. So you know that there is a leash and there are some limitations to Mitchell Trubisky's game. As of now, you have no idea what Kenny Pickett can be. Like, yeah, the hand size is going to bother some people. Yes, there are going to be some things that say, oh, he's Mac Jones light, which means he's Kirk Cousin light, which basically is like saying, oh, he's water with like a spritz of alcohol in it. Like, very, very, very light beer. He's O'Douls. But you know what? Until we see him on the football field, until we see him working in this offense underneath Mike Tomlin, until we see him biding his time and finding repertoire with his receivers, George Pickens, Chase Claypool, Deontay Johnson, Pat Freiermuth, it's all guessing. I mean, like, literally, it's all guessing right now. And to me, that might be the biggest blessing for a team like the Pittsburgh Steelers, who, for the first time in 18 years, have to actually find their next starting quarterback because Ben Roethlisberger's not going to be around. It's a good spot. It's a very, very, very good spot to be in. And I do think that having him sign right before the start of training camp, not having to worry about this later on, it sets you up for the long term. And for me, when I look at what Pittsburgh brings to the table, when I look at what Pittsburgh can have with Trubisky at starting quarterback, but also now knowing that you can see Kenny Pickett push Trubisky, it's a good spot. You're in a very, very, very good spot here, Pittsburgh. And congratulations are in order. The hometown kid gets to stay in the hometown, and now he signs a deal to remain in the hometown for at least another 4 years, maybe even longer.
On paper, the Atlanta Falcons are rebuilding squad following the trade of Matt Ryan to Indianapolis, but don't tell that to the man in the locker room. Olamide Zaccheaus believes Atlanta has a chance to make the postseason. His comments echo that the veteran corner, Casey Hayward, questioned immediately following the Ryan trade why the Falcons couldn't surprise people and contend. It's the only way to get through the rigors of an NFL season. The Falcons went 7-10 last season, but weren't eliminated from the postseason until Week 16. That record came while beating up on bad teams. 5 of the 7 wins came against teams drafted in the top 6. Even with Ryan, the Falcons offense struggled, earning the 4th fewest total yards per game in the NFL at 303.8. And the defense remained bad, allowing 27 points per game, tied for the 3rd most while earning the fewest sacks in the league.
I mean, he doesn't really believe that, right? Like, Michael, let me ask you something. If, say, I left the show, I left Just Saying It, and we were going to hire a guy who's never worked on radio before, never done a dang thing, never done a broadcasting thing before, and just doesn't even really know sports. We don't know what he's like. And he comes in, and he sits in this chair, and he says, I'm going to have the best dang show ever. You can believe him?
Of course not.
Yeah. So why are we going to believe that Desmond Ridder, who I do like, and I do think is going to the perfect offense for his style of play, or Marcus Mariota, who has fizzled and fallen flat since coming out of Oregon in the NFL, is going to be the heir apparent and savior to Atlanta football? That's something that Matt Ryan, who put up consistent numbers for over a decade, over 14 years, was ever able to get to. Like, everyone still focuses in so much on the 28-3 jokes, and that roster was arguably the best in the NFL that year. Like, they were better than New England. I think everybody knows that they were better than New England. They just fell apart. And you're going to tell me right now, Olamide Zaccheaus, who, by the way, was on the practice squad at one point, that you're a playoff roster. You have the 31st ranked rushing attack. You have the 25th ranked offensive line. You have the 29th ranked run defense. You have the 24th ranked pass defense. You have question marks all across the field at every single position besides maybe your number one corner and your linebacker. There are so many holes on this team, so many holes on this roster. Oh, and if that's not enough, you got to go up against the Saints and you got to go up against the Bucs twice a year. Yeah, okay. When you go ahead and show me how you're going to win, how you're going to beat that strategy, how you're going to be able to take down the GOAT, and honestly, Tom Brady, because the GOAT I'm talking about is Jameis Winston. We all know that. I'll believe you. But until then, just be thankful that you have a roster spot. You're probably going to have a major role on the team. And it's probably about a year or two away before you're even somewhat competitive because of I don't believe in this roster whatsoever. And if you do believe in this roster, ladies and gentlemen, I'll tell you this one more time. As Stephen A. Smith once said, lay off the weed. Go ahead.
when Arizona Cardinals receiver DeAndre Hopkins was suspended 6 games by the NFL for violating the league's performance-enhancing drug policy. The wideout responded he was shocked by the positive test results and vowed to fight the ban. Speaking to reporters at a charity softball game Wednesday for the first time since the suspension was handed down, Hopkins reiterated his stance. One of the top receivers in the NFL, the 30-year-old, is a vital part inside the Cardinals' operation. Kyler Murray averaged 2.6 more yards per attempt with Hopkins on the field than without him in 2021, including playoffs per next-gen stats. Murray generated a 133.6 passer rating, targeting Hopkins. A reduction is unlikely at this stage as suspensions are usually announced after the appeals process is spent. And league rules make it clear, players maintain the responsibility of what goes in their bodies, regardless of how it happens.
You know, we're still, doing some research right now. So hopefully, before the season starts, maybe we can get the games down a little bit. But no, that wasn't on me. I'm a natural, pretty much a naturopathic kind of person, man. And what it was called Osterin, and it was 0.1% of it found in my system, which is, if you know what that is, it's contamination, not something directly taken. So I don't take any supplements. I've never taken supplements. I barely take vitamins. For something like that to happen, to me, obviously, I was shocked. But, my team and I, we're still, trying to, figure out what's going on.
I mean, let's be real. I've always had, this thought process. Let's see the results for any single test, because if you do think about it, there are some times where you just don't know what is in a product. And also, have you ever seen the PED substance ban list by the NFL? It's like, you know what it reminds me of, Michael? You know whenever you sign up for an upgrade or an update on Apple, and like they say, read the fine print, and you just go ahead and scroll through.
The terms of service.
It's the same thing. Glufosinate falsate is one of the banned substances, and it's squeezed right in the middle of paragraph 36, line 28, on eight point font. That's what it's like. Oh, you didn't see that in the fine print? No, I did not see that in the fine print. You want to know why? Because the fine print is so dang small, I can't read everything, and it puts me to sleep. If that's the case, and he was telling the truth, it was less than 1% found in his system, I totally understand what he's getting at. Now, here's the problem. It's probably too late to go ahead and get this expunged, to get this even reduced a little bit. So Arizona's going to be in a downfall, but the good news is they have Marquise Brown on the roster. They still have Rondale Moore. I think that AJ Green can hold his own for 6 games. And as long as Kyler Murray doesn't play like he did against the Los Angeles Rams in the playoffs, and, it is September, so history has it that he is good in September. Let's think that that's going to be the case in 2022. By the time that DeAndre Hopkins comes back, maybe Arizona is leading. And maybe, Michael, just maybe, he'll be a part of the complete and total downfall that we all expect to happen starting in week 9, because that's the Arizona way.
How the Packers offense goes about life without all-pro wide receiver Davante Adams will be the main storyline in Green Bay during training camp and throughout the 2022 season. Jaire Alexander is doing his part to help Green Bay cope with the loss. The Packers cornerback said part of his plan is planned this summer is helping the young wide receiver core get up to speed. Green Bay traded up in the second round to select wide receiver Christian Watson and pick Romeo Doubs in the fourth round of April's draft. The rookies will join veterans Randall Cobb, Sammy Watkins, and Allen Lazard to round out Aaron Rodgers' passing targets this season. Listed at 6'5", 208 pounds, and posting a 4.36 40-yard dash at the NFL Scouting Combine, Watson has the physical traits to be a number one receiver. He caught 43 balls for 800 yards and 7 touchdowns in his senior season and is being regarded as one of the second-round steals.
But I mean, it's a good pressure. I mean, it's the pressure, to push me and motivate me to become the best I can be. But I mean, it's all been on me, but it's been good. It's been good.
To me, again, this whole thing is you have to look at the big picture. Aaron Rodgers finally is going to have to pass for rookies. He's eventually going to have to do that. Because the whole storyline that we've known for years and years and years and years and years about Aaron Rodgers is he has got to pass to the veteran. and he only threw the ball to Devontae Adams. He sometimes would get it to Robert Tonyan, and once in a blue moon, hey, Marquez Valdes-Scantling, you deep downfield? All right, you got it. F it. You're down there somewhere. Wee! That's been the whole storyline. He doesn't like the rookies. Now he has to do that. Here's a good thing for the rookies. Every single snap in practice, if you're working first-team offense, you're going up against one of the best cornerbacks in the game in Jaire Alexander and two of the best safety tandems in the game in Adrian Amos and Darnell Savage. The linebacking core is pretty good. I love the addition of Quay Walker. Devondre Campbell's really solid. You're going to see the entire football field, and you're going to be able to see some of the premier players at your position that you have to go up against on Sundays in practice. If Aaron Rodgers has the trust factor with these guys afterwards, that's on him. Like, he's got to get over that fear. Because of, as I believe Jaire Alexander said, iron sharpens iron. He's going to get better learning how to play against these young receivers who, again, there's a lot of question marks with all of them. But these young receivers are also going to have that same impact, that same feel, that same robust style to go up against the likes of Jaire Alexander in practice. They can go up against a number two cornerback with ease. They can go up against a number three cornerback with ease. And remember, Romeo Doubs, Christian Watson, Amari Rodgers, who was drafted last year out of Clemson in the third round, all these guys, they have got to step up. And Aaron Rodgers, he's got to build that confidence factor. It does help out when you go up against arguably the best cornerback in the game every single practice. They have it. 2 minute warning right here on Just Saying It.
This is Just Saying It on the Sports Map Radio Network. Here's Cole Thompson.
There's so much to explore at Total Wine & More. And when you discover your new favorite bottle of Cabernet or Chardonnay at Total Wine & More, well, you discover a whole lot more. Like the friendly smile of an expert guide ready to help you find the perfect bottle for the perfect event. And the confidence of knowing you just added something special to your wine repertoire. So explore the wondrous selections and totally low prices at TotalWine.com. Where you'll love what you find, and you'll find what you love. Remember to drink responsibly. Must be 21 years old or older to order.
Because AB was on the show.
Yeah.
And he expressed that he would definitely love to return to Pittsburgh.
Y'all know that ain't happening.
We got to ask.
Y'all know that ain't
happening. Well, he got to ask, though.
Retire, though.
Yeah. It's full circle. You said it.
Oh, yeah. But, you know, in terms of putting a helmet on and running out of the tunnel and playing ball and stuff like that, man, you know, he's moved on, we've moved on.
That was Mike Tomlin discussing on potentially seeing Antonio Brown suit up once again as a member of the Pittsburgh Steelers on the Pivot Podcast with Ryan Clark. 800-224-2004, call on the show, let's talk about it. See, the one thing that I love about Mike Tomlin is he gets blown out of proportion every single time. One small instance, one small frame, one wrong wording, and people love to go ahead and have some controversy to it. But in reality, you have to understand of where Mike Tomlin is coming from. It's not about the reunion of Antonio Brown, a Pittsburgh Steeler great. And yes, I think that we have to admit, Antonio Brown is a Pittsburgh Steeler great. He's talking about where the team is right now and where he is right now in AB. Pittsburgh right now is going into not a rebuild, but certainly a retooled offseason. They get a new quarterback, Kenny Pickett, Mitchell Trubisky. They're starting fresh with some young players. They get a couple of other guys who are coming in to make an immediate impact, such as a Najee Harris, such as a George Pickens, such as potentially a Pat Freiermuth. They're going through a little bit of a rebuild. Not even a rebuild, a retooling, a reassessment. Antonio Brown at this point in his career is not looking to be a part of reassessment rosters. He's looking to be a part of championship rosters, if he even wants to play. And keep this in mind. He's come out and said, I'm done with football as of now. And as of today, I think it's worth believing that we may never see AB step foot on the football field one more time. When you think about it, there's certain parts of your life where you just don't need someone, but you can definitely have respect for him. I'll tell you right now. When I was in college, I used to lean on my professor's butt every single day. I'd call him about every little thing. I'd ask him about a period. I'd ask him about a quotation. I'd ask him about a semicolon or a colon. I would ask him about, did this sentence make sense? Or was this too long of a word? Do I need to go with a certain dialect? Now, every once in a while, I give him a phone call, and he and I still talk, and we're really good friends. But at the same time, I don't need him anymore. Because where I'm at in my life and where I'm at in my career, those are mistakes that he should not be helping me with. And that's kind of where the Pittsburgh Steelers are at and kind of where Antonio Brown is at. But for anyone out there who loves to go ahead and say, oh, there's bad blood between these two, Mike Tomlin, at this point in his career, has no qualms with any former player. And so much so, he went on record to say how mentally, how physically, and how energetic of a player and how emotionally tough of a player Antonio Brown was.
But I don't think enough gets said about the will of that dude, about the work ethic of that dude, about the fearlessness in which he played the game. Like, is fear ever a factor in his play?
Not one time.
Like, think about how many people that play the wideout position that you could say that about. Like, he wasn't a goon wideout. He wasn't 6'4", 2 1/4", man. Like, I never seen him blink on a football field. I never seen him shy away from anything that was uncomfortable on a football field. I've only seen him run into burning buildings, as they say, on a football field. Like, we talk about all this other stuff, man, but we don't talk about that.
Right.
Unbelievable will, unbelievable work ethic, unbelievable belief in himself. Those were all tools needed by Antonio Brown to be successful. And don't think for one second that Mike Tomlin didn't notice that. When you're a sixth-round pick coming out of college in a small school college, every single rep counts. Every single drop ball counts. Every single catch counts. You want to know why it counts? Because if you're a second away from being cut and back on the streets, not knowing when your next snap is. That's the situation with Antonio Brown. So that work ethic that he had to show it to the likes of Mike Tomlin. And Mike Tomlin had to gain, let me phrase that. Antonio Brown had to gain Mike Tomlin's respect. But I'll tell you what, he certainly did. To think that for one second Antonio Brown is not a Steelers great is asinine. Because when you look at the history of those Steelers, especially at what Kevin Colbert was able to do for years and years and years when it came to time of drafting receivers, getting guys in the second round, getting guys in the fourth round, the fifth round, the seventh round, he made it a masterpiece. Every single year, when you think about it, it felt like there was always one sleeper receiver. And lo and behold, if you were lucky, he was likely going to Pittsburgh. And then if you're very lucky, he ended up thriving in Pittsburgh. Happened at the very get-go. Plaxico Burress, superstar on the rise. Then you go to Mike Wallace, who replaced Plaxico and made everyone forget about number 17 because the new 17 walked into town. Antonio Brown replaced the production of Mike Wallace. And then you have Juju Smith-Schuster. He replaced the production of Antonio Brown. Then you have Chase Claypool. He replaced the production of Juju Smith-Schuster. And now Deontay Johnson has taken control as that new number one receiver. When you look at what Antonio Brown wants to retire a Steeler, I think it will happen. I really do. Because of the respect factor of what Mike Tomlin has for his players. Young, old, current, former. It's uncanny. And you have to understand that he wants respect back. If respect is given, respect is earned. And he will give it right back to you. The second that Antonio Brown gets his mind on straight, I do believe he will retire a Steeler. But this is what makes Mike Tomlin such a different coach. He's not going to backlash a player or badmouth someone simply because someone badmouthed him. You see it all the time in sports today where he said, she said situations, so you have to go ahead and figure out how to get back at them. Instead, Mike Tomlin moves on. And that, my friends, is why you need coaches like him in today's NFL and why he is completely different. Coming up next, all pro offensive player of the year, Cooper Kupp, will be joining us right here on Just Saying It.
You're listening to Just Saying It on the Sports Map Radio Network. Here's Cole Thompson.
Welcome back into Just Saying It right here on the Sports Map Radio Network. Cole Thompson in the driver's seat. And sometimes you get the opportunity to talk to one of the best players in the NFL. 9 times out of 10, you take it. So we head out to the Progressive Guest Line and are joined by reigning Offensive Player of the Year, Super Bowl champion, Los Angeles Rams wide receiver, Cooper Kupp. Now, Cooper, let me be one of the first to congratulate you on your brand new, well-deserved extension, keeping you in Los Angeles through the 2026 season. Can you talk about how this deal went down and what it means that you get to be a part of this roster well past the 2 years left on your current contract?
Yeah, I mean, the process, it was honestly, it was very smooth. Super thankful for the Rams for just the way that we were able to go about this thing. And just being able to collaborate together, find something that worked for both sides, and be able to, on both sides, go walk away from that thing, both feeling great about where we were at and the opportunity we had to move forward together and pursuing some more, world championships. So without a doubt, that's something that was, a great process for us, and really excited about where we ended up.
You once said that you want to be a Ram for life, and with this current deal that is through 2026, you will possibly be able to say that you spent your entire career with one organization. But when you look at the foundation that Les Snead and Sean McVay have put together by extending Aaron Donald and Jalen Ramsey and Matthew Stafford, when you look back at your journey from Eastern Washington to being a third-round pick to getting your first 1,000-yard season to now being basically one of the best receivers in the game, what does it mean how you're a part of this foundation and what the organization means to you and what you mean to them?
Yeah, I mean, it's been an incredible thing, and it's not lost on me. I'm a part of the whole, and there's been so many people that have been a part of, pouring into me as coaches. There's also mentors outside of that just as poured into me to build me up into the man I am, the husband, the father that I am. So just an understanding, I can fully understand. I'm so thankful for so many people that poured into me, and having the opportunity now to be in Los Angeles, to be a part of this organization that I've had the opportunity to grow with over the last 5 years, I'm very thankful for that and being able to be a part of this community. So some of the guys that I think about growing up and how much time I spent watching Larry Fitzgerald tape, and the player that he was, the example he was in that community over in Arizona, and being able to be a part of an organization for such a long time, it's just a very rare thing for someone to be able to spend that much time with one organization. And I would love nothing more than be able to emulate that to the best of my ability. What Larry Fitz was to the Cardinals, I would love to be able to be a part of this Rams organization all the way throughout my career.
Los Angeles Rams star receiver Cooper Kupp joining us on the Progressive Guest Line. Now, Cooper, this past year, you had a lot of firsts. You were an all-pro receiver, your first offensive player of the year, first year of over 140 catches. But at one point, you were simply just Cooper, a zero-star recruit from Yakima, Washington, with the opportunity to play at Eastern Washington. But say you had a time machine and you could go back and talk to your 18-year-old self, and you could tell him that everything that you've worked for will come true. Number one, would you believe it? And number two, what other advice would you give yourself?
Yeah, well, yes. So this is always a difficult thing to try to convey, because I would believe it. And I don't say that it's not it's coming from a place of arrogance, but I know the dreams that I had for myself. And I know that the way that I lived my life and the sacrifices that I was making day in and day out, I wanted to set myself on that trajectory. I wouldn't have gone through the things that I was going through if I wasn't able to believe that this was going to someday be able to be something that I could achieve, that I could get to. And certainly along the path, I was so lucky to have the people that came along, the coaches that poured into me, that were able to get me there, because seeing it from my perspective now, I wouldn't have been able to get there without them. But the belief in my mind, that's where I was going. This is like being able to achieve this. I worked to be the best. That is where I didn't go into the weight room. I didn't go step out into the field in the middle of the winter thinking I'm going to train to be a average NFL receiver. The idea was to be able to, I want to go achieve the best that I possibly can. I want to shoot for the moon, be one of the best to ever play the game. And I hope that doesn't come off you know, I guess understanding kind of where that is in terms of, you know, I did believe that this was possible, because if I didn't believe that this was possible, I wouldn't have done the things that I needed to do to get to this place.
To me, I really wouldn't say it's cockiness. I'd say it's more so confidence. And there's plenty of people out there who need to know the difference. But one of the people who is probably the most confident person in all of the NFL is your head coach, Sean McVay. And I think we all forget that even though he's been in the league for 5 years, he was the youngest head coach hired. He's still one of the youngest coaches in the game. And he feels like a giant kid at heart. Like, yeah, he's the adult in the room. But every single time that I look at him, I feel like I'm watching Pete Maverick in Top Gun. Like, everyone wants to be the next Sean McVay. Like, everyone wants to be the next Tom Cruise or Miles Teller. But because of the age, there seems to be a little bit more of a connection that maybe some other coaches in the NFL won't be able to have with players because of that age gap. Now, when you have a player's coach like Sean, does it become easier to go through practice, easier to talk inside the huddle, and also just be able to have one-on-ones and express your feelings and be able to what you're seeing on the field without feeling that you're overstepping?
Yeah, no, it does. I mean, being able to have, and really what you're talking about is having a coach that can relate to his players, right? I mean, like, that is a very important thing. That's a, you know, being able to have empathy with each other and understanding where we're coming from, being able to collaborate together and know that, you know, your coach understands what he's asking of you, and can be in and can be step into the place where he can understand where you are right now. He does an incredible job of that, as any coach should. His job, a coach's job, is to get the very best out of each of his players. How many of your players can you get to reach their max potential? And he just does an incredible job of challenging people and pushing people to get to that place.
Now, you had a great relationship with Jared Goff, and no one's going to take anything away from that. But the NFL is a business, and without Matthew Stafford, who knows what would have been. But everyone wants to focus in on the positives of your connection. But you also got to think about the negatives. Was there ever a moment throughout the regular season where you and Matt had to sit down and go, okay, here's where we need to connect a little bit better if we want to reach that new goal? And was there ever a moment in practice or in camp or during a game where you just realized, okay, this cat is built completely different than anything that I've worked with in the past?
Yeah, well, you know, there you go through, you know, November. Like, look at the month of November from last year. We don't win a game. You know, in the middle of that three-game skid, we also have a bye week. So, you know, that was a difficult time for our team to be able to say, hey, look, how together are we? Like, this is a great challenge. How together are we? Do we trust our process? Do we trust who we are as a team, that we are getting better, that we're not going to believe in the end result, but we're going to believe in who we are as players and what we are as a team, what we stand for, and really get through that place. And not at any point, there was no finger pointing. There was no blaming anyone else. It was just, hey, look, the end result isn't where it was, but we're going to stick to our guns and understand that we're building this thing for the long term and just trying to be a better team week in and week out. And for Matthew, I mean, during that time, I think there was stuff that as a, not specific to Matthew, but just us as an offense, that we were not doing well enough. And so it wasn't so much Matthew and I having to sit down and figure out how we can be better. It was just offensively saying, hey, look, there's stuff that we're growing in still. Let's just figure out how to be a little more efficient, a little more explosive with some of the stuff that we're doing. And let's not try to rewrite the wheel. Let's not try to rewrite things and change things. We're in the middle of the season here. Let's just trust in who we are and go out there and make the plays that we need to make. And you talk about Matthew Stafford and realizing when he was the player that he was. It really goes back to OTAs. You know, early in the year, it was the same exact play that we ran in the Super Bowl that he no-looked. Same side of the field, everything. He no-looked one of that same pass. And that, to me, was like the click of, this is someone that isn't going to be reactive. This is someone that's not going to, you know, take what the defense gives him, as is always said. But, you know, there's a time and place for that, but he's also going to be able to dictate his terms and throw the ball where he wants to throw the ball and move people and make the plays that he wants to make. And, you know, I think that's a very unique and special trait of Matthews.
Offensive Player of the Year, Los Angeles Rams wide receiver Cooper Kupp, joining us on the Progressive Guest Line. You went viral earlier this year with your 29-yard touchdown reception against the Jacksonville Jaguars in December, but nobody was really focusing in on the play. They were focusing in on your answer, talking about the three deep fire zone nickel blitz coming at you. And you would have thought the internet broke with how many people were posting about it on Twitter and social media. I gotta ask, though, this is normal conversation that you hear inside the locker rooms. And for you specifically, do you feel comfortable talking about this in this type of lingo and this type of language? And also, who can break down film faster, you or Sean McVay?
Oh, you got Sean. I mean, Sean's got it. But that's because, you know, Sean sets the language, right? Because, like, when you really, when you come into a team, you know, even team by team, you might have language, things might be called differently. You know, three hook might be 3 week. You know, you, like, what are those? Those might be the same thing. Cover eight might mean five different things to these different teams. So understanding the language is really what you're talking about. So I've been able to learn this language for the last 5 years. That's how we talk in the facility. We use our language to describe what's happening. And so it is just the normal way of thinking. It's just stream of consciousness thought. And for Sean, who was the developer of the language, you know, for him to break things down is, you know, that is one of his superpowers. And so, you know, he holds the title for best at breaking down the film. You know, I'm just a lowly Padawan.
Cooper, before I get you on out of here, I know you got a deal going on with Pataday Extra Strength. And for me personally, I know when my allergies are acting up here in Houston because of the pollen, because of the weather change, it is just a nightmare. But it's got to be completely different for you playing football. How does it get you prepared for game day? Because let's be fair, having a clear sinus is much better than a drainy one when trying to catch footballs and go for 6 points.
Yeah, no, I mean, you know how it goes. When you're feeling awful and the allergies start to hit you, it's hard to focus on much. And, you know, in this sport, we talked about the details. We talked about, like, you know, this other language and seeing the things that you need to see. You need to be on your stuff and you need to be able to be clear and have clear thoughts behind what you're doing. You also have to be able to see. I play football. I got to catch the football. I got to be able to see what's coming at me. And so for me, when I get allergies in the changing of the seasons in the spring and the fall. And I get the itchy, super itchy eyes. I'll start rubbing them. Eyes start to swell up. I won't be able to see anything. That's a real problem when it comes to playing football. So for me, I was able to find Pataday daily relief, extra strength. I'm able to put one drop in both my eyes, 24 hours, knocks out itchy eyes. Don't have to worry about it anymore. And it's just a great tool in my bag to be able to combat something that has taken away from me in terms of my life and just being able to be as focused and present as I need to be. Also, I got two little boys. I got to be focused on raising up these two little boys as well, these two little munchkins. So, you know, it helps me just stay focused and be present with them as well.
Clear mind, clear eyes, definitely needed on the football field. But with two young kids, you probably need this in your daily life as well, right?
That's exactly right.
Awesome. Offensive player of the year, Los Angeles Rams wide receiver Cooper Kupp joining us on the Progressive Guest Line. Coop, this has been great. Awesome talking with you, brother. Best of luck this season.
Thank you, Cole. Appreciate you.
We'll close out just saying it right after this.
This is Just Saying It on the Sports Map Radio Network. Here's Cole Thompson.
One final thought, as I do every day here on Just Saying It. Believe in yourself. Seriously, if you're the only person who believes in yourself, then you may be the reason why you're successful. If you don't believe me, maybe you should believe Mike Bianco of Ole Miss Baseball. See, it wasn't too long ago. In fact, I actually remember less than 3 months ago, Mike Bianco's name had been mentioned across the entire NCAA trajectory about being fired. See, last season, everyone believed that Ole Miss was going to be the team to beat when it came to the College World Series. They were better. They had great bats. Their pitching was phenomenal. They had a rotation that was the lowest ERA in the SEC. And they fizzled and fell flat. They weren't even able to make it to the big show. And people wanted Bianco fired. They were done. They were fed up. This is a new type of baseball program. This is a staple that we are expected to see. And you are failing to meet the standard. But lo and behold, his players believed in him, and he believed in himself. In fact, so much so that there was a point when Tim Elko, the hero of Ole Miss baseball, tweeted out that they would get to Omaha, and not only would they get there, they would be national champions because they knew what their roster was. And this was an Ole Miss team that at one point in the year was sub-500. In fact, they were voted as a top-10 team in the preseason, falling out of the top 25 altogether. And lo and behold, thanks to a phenomenal pitching performance from the likes of their ace, Dylan DeLucia, who now goes 8-2 on the year, and Mike Bianco's phenomenal decision-making when it came to the bullpen, when it came to the lineup, and when it came to the trajectory, they pick up a 2-0 win over Arkansas to face off against Oklahoma in the College World Series finale. Again, no story is ever completely unwritten until you decide to put down the pen. So continue to write. Make some errors. Have some mistakes. Go back. Learn where you need to fix some things. Decide what can be taken out. Where is the clutter? Where are the paragraphs that don't make sense? What are some areas where this sentence could be shorter? This one could be longer. Enunciate. Give more detail. Your story is far from over. I know that I deal with this every single day. I'm just like the Ole Miss Rebels baseball team. There's a lot of moments where I know that my story, my great attitude, my ability to get on air, talk, write for a living is phenomenal. And there's days where I just don't feel it. I'll tell you what, today, I knew that this was going to be a great show. In fact, I said at the very start to Michael, this is going to be one of our best shows of the week. And you know what? I walk away feeling content that I believe this is one of the best shows that we've had. Michael, I'm not sure if he believes it, but you know what? Doesn't matter. Believe in yourself. Because as long as you do that, and as long as you say, I'm going to turn the page and not hit the period, your story will continue. That does it for me. I'll be back here on Monday to break down more stuff coming out of the NBA, free agency, NFL playoffs, and so much more. Have a good weekend, everyone. See you on Monday. Later.